Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, hello, and welcome, or should I say welcome back, to the Indie Football Podcast in association with Paddy Power. I am Ed Mallion, your host and sports editor of The Independent, and we are live again. World Cup Daily from Moscow. I'm alone again tonight, but we've got a few guests for you to break down today's action, which of course saw the final games of the group stage. So we've lost 16 of our 32 teams now. But most importantly, I guess, we saw England Belgium. So we'll get straight into that. Belgium were the winners in that one. It was a single goal from Adnan Januzaj in a very peculiar game played out in Kaliningrad. In the other game, if you're interested, Tunisia beat Panama 2-1 to get their first points of the competition. But I could talk you through England Belgium. I'm sure you've all watched it, but it's probably better to hear from the guys who were in Kaliningrad for the game. So I'll hand you over to Jack and Miguel, and we'll go over it afterwards.
Hi, it's Jack and Miguel outside the stadium in Kaliningrad, where we just saw England 0, Belgium 0.
No, 1-0 Belgium. Oh, forgettable. That
yeah,
you.
Yeah. that was a genuine mistake. There wasn't even like a game. That was terrible. It was a really, really bad game. I don't know if it's the worst game of the tournament. I haven't seen every game.
I was at France-Denmark and it was bad. This was France-Denmark was the least kind of... This is just a farce. It was so skewed by the whole debate about finishing first and second. And it was such a strange game. Yeah. And also, the fact we're in Kaliningrad, apart from the rest of Russia, kind of further fostered the feeling this was a match apart from the rest of the tournament, because to go from the chaos, the brilliant chaos of the last few days, to that.
Yeah, I mean, it was as different as you can get from Argentina 2, Nigeria 1 in St. Petersburg, which it did a few days ago. It felt like a sort of weird testimonial, or like a game for a sort of slightly suspect charity. Or just a kind of odd game that you would find on a funny TV channel. Like, it was no tempo, no real enthusiasm. The fans lost interest in the first half. Mm-hmm.
The Belgian fans cheering their players getting booked.
There was no response from England after they conceded, really. I mean, he sort of threw on Danny Welbeck towards the end, but I mean, if he was really, if Southgate really was chasing the game, then he would have put on Harry Kane.
Yeah, exactly.
The match as a match was terrible.
There's nothing we may as well talk about, really. It was of no consequence.
Yeah. If you haven't seen the goals, don't look them up. Yeah. Don't look up the highlights. Don't read the match reports. You know, there's plenty of more interesting stuff on the internet.
Yeah. What was interesting, though, was Roberto Martinez's reaction. He didn't exactly celebrate.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, like, obviously all people were thinking about all game was what this means for what comes next.
Yeah.
And had results gone differently, then it would have been obvious that you would rather come second than first. That is, if you could play Japan and then the winner of Sweden and Switzerland. But the reality that of Colombia winning the group and Japan coming second is that now the pitch became a bit more complicated, didn't it? In the sense that you get either Colombia then an easier game, or Japan then a harder game.
If like England, you haven't been to a semi-final of any competition in 22 years, you haven't been to a quarter-final of any competition in 6 years, and suffered some of your worst tournaments in the meantime, do you have the right to be looking at what you think is the easiest path to the semis, but risk this much more difficult last 16 game?
Well, yeah, I mean, that is one of the criticisms made of England's choice. I think it's a big risk. Because they now have to beat Colombia.
Yeah.
Where they can't not beat Colombia, having effectively chosen to play them.
Yeah.
for the sake of an easier quarterfinal. I know that's not, you know, Southgate says we can't look too far ahead, but that is the reality of the situation. Yeah. Do you reckon they'll do it? I think a lot depends on James Rodriguez.
I was actually talking to a Colombian journalist tonight who thinks he's in real danger of missing the game. There's a lot of talk that there's been some talk already that if James doesn't play, England are back full favourites again. I wouldn't quite agree with that, especially with the form Falcao is in. But it's interesting, as you know, even the press conference, maybe there hasn't been a shift in public mood yet. I mean, there's still a lot of optimism around England, I think. But there has been a slight shift among the press pack towards Southgate, hasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that. I mean, I haven't read everything yet, but I do think there's going to be some. Bye.
Bye.
There's going to be some criticism.
One of the volunteers hanging by to us.
There's going to be some criticism.
This is, of course, Kaliningrad's last night, so there was a bit of a presentation towards all the volunteers.
I mean, this is going to be one of the big... what were we talking about?
We were talking about...
England's...
There
is going to be some criticism of Southgate in tomorrow's newspaper, sorry, that is Friday's newspapers, of his decision. And I think that's fair. I mean, for me, when I think about this, like, I get why Southgate did what he did.
Hmm.
Like, I mean, obviously I understand the issues. And, you know, but I think there's a bigger issue. Like, I actually asked Southgate in the press conference if he thinks he has, like, a moral responsibility to the fans and to the competition as a whole to try, you know, to try his best to win every game. And, like, so I completely get where he's coming from. And, you know, he's just said it's a decision that he has to take as the manager. You know, he's the one who has to balance up these things. And I get it. I do get it. But I just disagree.
Yeah. For me, what's really stood out after watching that game, not so much even playing your second team, whatever that, it's that when in-game there's any sort of debate about whether winning a football match is the best option.
Yeah.
Once that happens, the game is a farce.
Completely, yeah. Because all sport is based on this presumption that both teams are trying their absolute best to win the game. Like, that is what it all hinges on. And if you don't have that, like, that's the pressure that keeps the bridge up. Like, if you don't have that, then it collapses. And that's what we saw tonight. It wasn't recognisable sport.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. Do we think FIFA now, is that something they have to look at? It's been, I do quite like this idea that was put, I think it was Nate Silver, about, you know, it should be a Champions League-style draw. Basically, you're either a first seed or a second seed, and that's it. Now, there are logistical problems there. You'd have to have at least a 3-day break between the group stage and last 16. And you could, I suppose, plot out the whole tournament from there.
I think it's a good idea. So that idea, if you're not familiar with it, is that you won't pre-draw the bracket for the knockout rounds. You'll do the group stage. You'll have, like, obviously you'll have the stadiums times booked and everything, but then you will randomly draw at the end of the group stage who plays which first team, which first places play which second places in the knockout and take it from there. It's funny, I kind of think it all boils down to logistics. I think you definitely could do it in Qatar, where everyone will be within a few miles of each other, so it won't really affect flight bookings and hotels.
For team prep as well, I don't think it makes that much of a difference, because ultimately most teams won't know until at least after their second game, or sometimes after the third game, which would be exactly the same case, where they're going to be for the last 16.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you could do it for USA, Canada, Mexico, just because you can't. If you've got like 50,000 Argentina fans, I don't know if they're going to be in Vancouver or Mexico City, then it's harder. I mean, obviously, the FA would have had two parallel sets of plans, going either flying to Rostov on Sunday to play on Monday, or what's now easier is either flying or taking the train to Moscow on Monday to play on Tuesday. So, I mean, in England now have that extra day off and the less travel that Belgium have been hoping to snap off themselves. So maybe that's a positive for England. Of course, Colombia will get that too. But I have to say, my overall impression of tonight is that it was not a great night of football, and also put Southgate in a difficult position because they now have to beat Colombia, or it's a big failure, and it's on him.
Roll on the last 16. Thank you.
Roll on the last 16, indeed, where England, as the guy said, will face Colombia. Colombia came through Group H, which was the final group, with a 1-0 win over Senegal today. That was a game that was goalless at halftime. It didn't look like it was going anywhere. Colombia marginally the better team, but then Yerry Mina, the Barcelona centre-back, who's had a tough season as an actual defender, but he rose to score a brilliant header to settle that game. Japan, who in a peculiar move, rested a lot of their best players for the game against already eliminated Poland, lost 1-0 to Poland. Now, that included Japan resting all four of the players that have scored goals for them so far this tournament. But supposedly that was because the coach thought the game was played in too hot temperature and he wanted to have some fresh legs in there. I think they said it was the hottest game of the competition so far down in Volgograd. But yeah, Jan Bednarek, who you might not have heard too much about but was at Southampton last year, he scored the winning goal for Poland. So in the end, that group went extremely tight and Colombia ended up topping it with the win today. It takes them up to 6 points. But Japan and Senegal could not be separated right down to yellow cards, which is where Japan win on fair play. So Japan, with one win, one draw, one loss, go through. Senegal devastated to go out on fair play. You know, it's as hard as it gets. It's never happened before, I think. And Poland, on 3 points, finished bottom of the group. So, as I say, that means Colombia will play England, and it means that Belgium will play Japan. So, having watched Colombia today, I got Michael Cox of ZonalMarking.net, who is writing some tactical columns for us throughout this World Cup on the biggest games. I got him to watch the Colombia game today in anticipation of this, and he not only wrote the column, which you can read on the website early in the morning, but he also called in earlier and gave us a little kind of 1 minute hit on what you can expect from Colombia when they face England next Tuesday.
I think Colombia's quality really depends on whether James is fit. If he is, then they've got a wealth of attacking options with him, Quintero, who has played as the number 10 with James drifting inside. Then they've got Cuadrado on the right and Falcao up front, who I think in this country is seen very much as a goal scorer and a goal scorer alone, but his all-round play in this tournament has been very good, coming deep and linking play and winning free kicks. If James is out, I think that Colombia a bit more structured, a bit more basic, with width on either side. I think the main questions really will be defensively for Colombia. They've looked shaky at the back. Davinson Sanchez and Yerry Mina, both very, very quick, but they don't really seem to have a great relationship. They're covering a lot of space behind the fullbacks. And I think really a big part of it for England will be getting midfield runners in behind. And, you know, Sanchez depends a lot on his recovery pace. And I think he probably will have to against England, because England have been so good at getting particularly Lingard in behind the defence. And I think that's really where they can cause Colombia some problems.
So Michael thinks that England will cause Colombia some issues. And I think having seen them a couple of times during this competition, I think they're a very good side. And if you look at the team without James, it is much weaker. He is obviously an absolute star for them. He has struggled with injuries over the season. He had about a month out with a calf problem when he was at Bayern on loan from Real Madrid. And what eventually happened was he got fit enough, but he missed the opening game. If you remember, he was on the bench for the opening game, which is where Juan Fernando Quintero, who Coxie just mentioned just then, Quintero got the start and was actually quite impressive. But then we had Rodriguez coming in for the second game because they'd lost to Japan. So Rodriguez played not looking fully fit. He didn't move with much fluidity, but he did play that incredible pass that we talked about, where he swept it from the left flank through for Juan Cuadrado to run onto. I always kind of stumble over that name. But yes, James went off today after 30 minutes with a recurrence of that calf injury. Jose Pekerman, the Colombia coach, said, "What I can say is I'm extremely concerned. It's a very tough situation for my team. I don't want to address this in comments because it's one of these topics that can overshadow everything else. In the last Poland match, James felt fatigue, but it was only fatigue, and that was due to him not playing in the previous match. He trained normally for us until yesterday. He stayed on afterwards, practicing finishing, free kicks, penalties as normal. And he was fully fit. There was no hint of any injury. But right now, to be honest, I just don't know where he stands." So Jose Pekerman, as he says, very concerned. England won't be concerned by that. I think it's a huge boost for them. It's a pretty 50-50 game without with James playing, without James, I think it tips slightly in England's favour. But as Jack alluded to, Gareth Southgate not going to get universal praise for resting those players, certainly the back of the Daily Mail for Friday morning is saying it's not a school day, it's not a school sports day, it's the World Cup, Gareth. So there are people who are unimpressed, and the only way, of course, to get over those criticisms will be to win a knockout game. And they haven't won a knockout game at a major tournament, remember, since beating Ecuador in 2006. So let's just go over the quick round of 16. So France will play Argentina, and Uruguay will play Portugal. Those games are on Saturday, and the winners of those will play each other, setting up, as we kind of mentioned the other day, potentially the Messi versus Ronaldo quarterfinal. Spain play Russia on Sunday at the Luzhniki Stadium in Moscow, so that'll be very heavily in Russia's favour. And Croatia play Denmark later that day. The winners of those games, who you'd expect to be Spain and Croatia, but you can't rule out Denmark, I think, they will play in a quarterfinal. Brazil play Mexico in Samara on Monday, and then Belgium play Japan in Rostov. The winner of those two will play each other, so you're looking at potentially Brazil-Belgium quarterfinal. Brazil-Belgium played each other in 2002 in the round of 16. The winner went on to play England in the next round, which was the famous Ronaldinho game. And then the final pairing is Sweden versus Switzerland and Colombia versus England. Sweden versus Switzerland in St. Petersburg on Tuesday afternoon, and then Colombia versus England, which is at the Spartak Stadium in Moscow, right here, on Tuesday night, in what may well be mine and Critch's final night in Moscow, dependent on England's progress. So there you're around the 16 games. It means we lose 16 teams. We lose Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Iran, Morocco, Peru, Australia, Nigeria, Iceland, Serbia, Costa Rica, South Korea, Germany, Tunisia, Panama, Senegal and Poland. And we've got quite a lot of good stuff on the website about Germany if you want to read more into why and how on earth this happened. We've also got an interesting piece I wrote going around Moscow today, some of the Brazilian songs on the Moscow streets, and what they actually tell us about England rather than anyone else. I wrote a piece about the transformative nature of the World Cup, not just for the teams that do well, but actually for these teams that are going home, and the stories there, as we discussed, the Iranian keeper who, you know, before this tournament was a homeless guy who was going to play at the World, a formerly homeless guy who was going to play at the World Cup, and now he's that goalkeeper who saved the penalty from Cristiano Ronaldo. There are a lot of stories like that which kind of show how the World Cup can change people's lives, even if you play for a team that loses all three games. Felipe Beloy of Panama also springs to mind. We've got a big Spain preview from Miguel, looking ahead already to that game, especially with reference to the historic clash that he had with the USSR back in the day. It's a good read, it's a long read, but you're going to enjoy it. And the other football news of the day is that Wayne Rooney has joined DC United. So if you've listened all the way till the end for that nugget, then you will absolutely love tomorrow's episode, because there's going to be more of us on here. There's going to be a lot more for you. Until then, I guess, thank you for listening as ever. I got an email today, a little peek behind the curtain. I got an email today from our shadowy figures in the upstairs offices saying that the podcast is flying in terms of numbers, and we're getting lots of interest from sponsors. So that's obviously not all the be-all and end-all, but what we're loving is that everyone's listening to the podcast every morning. So we're going to keep doing it, and I guess that means see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.